This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, Matt Jolly here from WarbirdRadio.com, here to tell you about our new on-demand programming. Listen, we know your life's busy and you want to listen to your favorite shows when you have the time, not when they're being broadcast. Well, thanks to our new on-demand format, you can do just that. Just click on the on-demand button on the right side of WarbirdRadio.com and follow the simple instructions for setting up your favorite listening device. If you prefer to listen directly from WarbirdRadio.com, well, just click the Play Now button at the bottom of the show story. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy our new on-demand programming.
Hi, everybody. Join me, Nick Dasos, Smithsonian Curator, for Preserving Our Past, a lively look at air and space museums across the country. WarbirdRadio.com proudly presents our newest on-demand broadcast, Preserving Our Past, where museum experts share their thoughts and experiences for future generations of air and space museum lovers.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
We've got your six. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in.
Take off.
Hey, good evening, everybody. You're listening to another episode of the Warbird Rescue Hour, brought to you by our home here on Warbird Radio. You're one of your hosts, Chris, and with me always is my faithful companion, Rob, who's here yet again with me tonight. The three of us will know exactly what that means. Rob, how are you, buddy?
I am great.
I've seen this episode.
This is deja vu.
Exactly. Well, guys, from time to time, what we like to do is actually have one of our volunteers come on. We're a show that we're an organization that's dedicated to trying to get people involved with warbirds of all different ages. And with us tonight is one of our volunteers, one of the people we're proud to say volunteers with a very, very cool air museum. And that is the Plains of Fame Air Museum, and that is Gerald Hazlett, who was the volunteer. Gerald, how are you?
I'm good. Just trying to get out of the rain right now.
Are you actually out at the field right now?
Yeah, believe it, it's raining out here in California right now.
And oh, man.
I'm thunderbolts and lightnings fly over, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Gerald, we got to ask you, how did you first get started? What was your first recollection of a warbird?
Believe this, actually standing on the wing of the Plains of Fame P-47 at the 1996 or 97 Air Show. And that's also the same year I started to really understand and know who Chuck Yeager was.
And, wow, so you got to meet General Yeager out there at the air show?
Yeah, it's actually, the last time I met him was 2009 at the Edwards show. And let me just say, it's a lot nicer. Bob Hoover and Bud Anderson and also Brigadier General Robert Cardina is a lot easier to speak with.
Yeah, it's always an honor to talk with so many of those legends out there. And literally where you are, history is in your backyard. I mean, you're out there at near Edwards. I mean,
that is
pretty cool atmosphere out there. Now, how did you first get involved with volunteering at the Plains of Fame Air Museum?
A friend of mine, just told me that they'd be doing, volunteer orientations at a specific date, and well, I talked my mom into going out because it was a nice November Saturday morning, and she has nothing better to do on a Saturday morning than take me places. So why not out to Chino to go and do free work around lovely old with go work on lovely old ladies like a Mustang or a Thunderbolt.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it has been a full family affair with you guys, as I understand it.
Yeah, the same day I signed up, there was another volunteer to talk my mom into signing up to become a volunteer. And now, since my dad has a easier work schedule, now he's able to volunteer out at the museum. And hopefully if my sisters were as much into airplanes as I were, as I am, lucky enough, my little sister, who's at a football game right now, it likes airplanes, just not as much as I do, but I wish I could get my whole family into out there at Chino, but they don't want to work for In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, it's got to be a labor of love. It's one of those things that, you know, it's such hard work and sometimes not fun work that you've really got to find ways to enjoy it.
Yeah.
What's it like volunteering at one of the world's, I mean, really premier flying aviation museums?
Well, sometimes sometimes I am speechless about what I get to do, and sometimes I just don't want to shut up about it. Like a couple of weeks ago, the P-51 that's based out of the War Hawk Air Museum, the P-51 Boise B, came into Chino two or three weeks ago for a quick visit. And then there's some days where I get to speak to Brigadier General Robert Cardenas during an event.
Wow. Wow, that's a legend there.
And to make it even better is a couple weeks ago, along with Brigadier General Cardenas, also I got to speak to the first SR-71 pilot, and I think his first name is Robert, and I think his last name is Gilliland. And I even had him sign my SR-71 rocket model that I have.
Wow, that's awesome. The one-on-one interaction with the veterans has to be amazing there. I mean, that's really what it's all about, that and getting some of the young folks involved there. Yeah. Does the Flames of Fame have a good bit of young volunteers? Is there a good volunteer base there?
Say that again, Chris.
The Flames of Fame, do you guys have a good bit of younger volunteers, a younger crowd that works out there?
There's three or four younger volunteers. But, there's one guy I talked to him when he was about 14, and I talked to him and his mom and his little brother into volunteering, and there's a couple of younger volunteers who volunteer there too. I just can't remember exactly what they look like or what their names are at the current moment.
Well, now you got a hangar full of some of the, I mean, just most amazing and important warplanes that flew during World War II, Korea, and even into Vietnam. If you had to pick one that was your absolute favorite to go and just kind of sit near or even maybe clean up or polish, what airplane would that be?
Oh, God, that's hard. It'd probably be the one that I flew in last year. That's the P-40, the one with the checkered tail that's over at the museum.
Oh, it's a beautiful airplane.
Yeah, and every time I see her, I always walk over and give her a kiss and say, hey girl, how are you doing? And then I know she won't talk back, but I know as long as she has a quart of oil to drink down, I know she's happy.
Absolutely. That's, got to keep the airplane happy. What do you do on a day-to-day, I won't say day-to-day because I know it's volunteer work, but, when you tour or volunteer there, what are some of the things that you generally get tasked with?
Right now, I'm in the museum's slowly expanding library, and also from time to time, if the museum needs it, I have my brand new used camera there for any photographic needs. And among other things, if I'm asked to, I'll wash the airplanes with other volunteers. And from time to time, I even get to help launch the airplanes when the airplanes go out on rides, which is a lot of fun.
That's pretty cool. You know, and you touched on washing the airplanes. And, Rob, you had a speech that you always say about washing a warbird.
I don't recall which one that is, Chris. I'm sorry.
Wow, jeez. You know, you always said that it's a really intimate way to learn how the airplane is put together is by simply taking a few hours and cleaning the airplane and washing it.
You get to learn a lot of the details about its construction. Yes, I'm sorry. I did forget about that.
Well, I tell you, you give the guy a couple weeks off, Gerald, and he just turns to him.
Yeah.
So.
Useless.
Yeah. Yeah, and like the first airplane I washed with one of the volunteers / Steve Hinton employees was the museum's SPD Dauntless dive bomber. And I think that day, it was 2 weeks before the show, and Steve just asked me and Ronnie, said, "Hey, guys, can you pull out the SPD and wash it? Because she's really oiled, or she has a bunch of oil on the wing, and she needs a washing."
You know, and that's something you touched on there. I mean, somebody who I think everybody in the warbird world looks up to is Steve Hinton.
Yeah,
and, you know, you're just like, well, yeah, Steve came up and said to go ahead and wash the oil off the Dauntless. You know, that's pretty cool. I can't help but touch on that when I visited the Plains of Fame and got to hang out with you out there, that, you know, it's like, oh, there's Steve, and, you know, there goes Ed. And, you know, these legends of aviation are literally just hanging around and working at the museum.
Yeah.
They're busy, they're not just hanging around, but they're, you know, it's truly neat. That's another aspect of a cool reason to go out to see the Plains of Fame is to, you know, to get a chance to see these guys up close.
Yeah.
Pioneer, if you will, of saving airplanes.
Yeah.
How long of a drive like or do you look at every day? I mean, a lot of people, this is something that is becoming a concern. Is you gotta pay to get there. You know, how long do you have to travel to get to the volunteer to museum?
Well, for me, since I live in Riverside, right on the border of Corona, here in California, I think along the 91 to the 71 over to Euclid, I think it's like 20-25 minutes on a good day.
Well, that's not too bad. And now, so are you actually physically closer to like the March Air Museum?
I'm actually almost literally in between the both of them.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I could go out to the March Museum, but I'd have to first either take the street route or the freeway route, then up to Van Buren, then take the Veterans Memorial Highway the rest of the way, and that's probably a 30-minute drive just on the 10-mile freeway or highway. I mean,
well, yeah, and plus you're looking at. And this is not meant as a knock at March Air Museum at all, because that's a great museum there.
Yeah,
that's actually
the first air museum I went to,
exactly.
Other than the one up at Edwards.
That's pretty neat.
Edwards is
so
awesome,
what,
yes.
Now, is there one hero in aviation, one test pilot or fighter pilot that really is sort of, do you hold in a special place or something like that?
There's tons of them, but the one that I really enjoyed meeting him was, and speaking to him for the brief 5 minutes was, Bud Anderson. Oh, well, just is a different name off a few that have a place in my warbird heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, people that listen to the show know we've had Bud Anderson on and had a chance to meet Bud in person. And what an amazing just man to talk to, an amazing story, an amazing patriot for the country.
Yeah.
But what else do you do? What do you have any other interests in aviation besides warbirds? What else do you get into?
Well, of course, air shows and if I know of an air show that's somewhere within a few hundred miles, or at least 100 miles, I'm there. Like, this coming, or for the next week or so, is, I think, the one out at the annual air show at Marine Corps Air Station Miramar. Or I'm not sure on the date of that, but other than air shows, I do have a love of shooting regular general aviation, and also other than just airplanes, I'm a semi-amateur at pinup photography. Which,
yes, I find myself experimenting with that as well.
Yeah, and just,
It's hard to take a bad picture when you've got a pretty girl and a pretty airplane.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to say which one's better looking.
Exactly. You know, you touched on general aviation and photography, and I know that you've had some air-to-air photography that's gone pretty well. What's that like, taking pictures out of a T-6 or, you know, another type of aircraft?
Yeah, I think it's so interesting just to have, I mean, what main important thing I'm really interested in is just to maneuver something like, say, a T-6, less just about 10 feet away from another T-6, which I'm in. And it's just amazing how you can handle something that heavy next to basically an identical airplane. Or, like, my first air-to-air was of the SBD Dauntless. There's no words for it to be able to do air-to-air with the only true U.S. Navy flying SBD Dauntless in the world. Now, I know there's other SBDs flying, but I know just as a warbird, not that they're the Army version and not the Navy version.
Well, that's pretty strange how the SBD, which is famous for naval aviators, and most of the ones that are flying are the Army version, which isn't very well known. That's pretty, it's a pretty fun fact there.
Yeah, and I just happen to have the Army version on my flight simulator.
Very cool. You do a good bit of flight simming as well, because I've actually flown with you before.
Yeah.
You do. How often do you get to do that?
Well, it's not of how often, it's how many hours I have a week on my simulator.
And
I think I probably do once in a time period of a week, I think I probably do, I don't know, maybe 20 to 25 hours of flying a week on my simulator.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And like when we were flying, I was talking about, the P-51 Happy Jacks Go Buggy. I think that's the name, but it's the one. It's based out of, I think, San Antonio, Texas. But, like, I just could be a dork. I basically did the San Antonio to Chino route, and it took four stops on my simulator, a combined total of, like, 5 hours with the four stops.
Yeah. Well, so you actually simulate the route going to different air shows and stuff.
Yeah. Like,
That's pretty cool.
Like, tomorrow, I'm thinking of maybe pulling out my F4F Wildcat and maybe doing Chino to El Centro or my TBM, which that's a big girl that is just... She, for a big girl, you think she'd be ugly, but the TBM Avenger is, to me, one of the best-looking Navy airplanes next to the Corsair. And I'm sorry to say it, or I know Trey is probably going to bring me a new one, but I would much rather be flying the Hellcat than the Bearcat.
Oh, man, when Trey hears this, I definitely will...
Or the Corsair. It's just because I got to sit in a Bearcat in, I think, 2010 or and versus like the Wildcat that I've sat in and the Corsair and a couple others like the SPD and the TBM. Just, I feel like a sardine in a sardine can when I sat in the Bearcat and the Wildcat.
What's that, Rob?
The gloves are off. It's on.
Oh, man. Well, you know, Trey's a big fan of the Nanchung, so.
Well, yeah.
Don't say anything bad about the Nanchung. He'll be all right.
That's a good, inexpensive warbird. And I haven't been lucky enough to fly in one yet, but if I know I have plenty of Nanchung pilots.
We'll have to get you a Trey. Trey's a master of the aircraft, so. Well, what is your favorite thing about volunteering at the museum? Is there one thing that sort of really gets you fired up? Is it veterans, or is there one thing that really gets you driving for it?
For me, it's getting to help teach people about it. But one thing that I look forward to out at the museum on a weekly basis is just seeing all these old girls and giving a rub on the wingtip or help pulling them out to go out for a flight. But mainly, one of the volunteers out there, his name is Wilbur Richardson. He's a ball turret vet with 2 kills. And me and my dad love to go out and joke around with Wilbur. And even for a man that's in his now late 80s, he acts like a teenager.
That is very true. I always find it amusing when a lot of these war veterans get near the aircraft they flew on. That sort of melts the years away, if you will. They get kind of, back into their element. And, Gerald, we just want to say thank you for everything you do. Gerald Hazlett, he is the Warbird Rescue Volunteer of the Month. And if you get a chance, we're going to have the show story up here on our Facebook page. Check it out. And if you are anywhere near California, near the Chino area, do yourself a favor, stop by the Plains of Fame Air Museum and give Gerald a pat on the back for us. Gerald, thank you for being here tonight. We really appreciate it, buddy. We know you're busy.
Thank you, Gerald.
Yeah, I'm not that busy.
Well, thanks, man. We can't wait to come out and visit you again.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you have a good night, and like I said, thank you again for being here.
All right.
And thanks for all that you do out there. Thanks for preserving your piece of history out there.
And before you go, Chris, I'm going to challenge you to a dogfight on the flight soon.
That sounds good. That sounds good. We'll get it up. I got to go get some beers for that, but I'll be ready.
All right.
All right, buddy. Thanks again, and thank you for all that you do.
All right. Thanks for making me volunteer of the month.
No problem. We're honored to have you, pal. Have a good night, Gerald.
All right.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hi, Matt Jolly here from WarbirdRadio.com, here to tell you about our new on-demand programming. Listen, we know your life's busy and you want to listen to your favorite shows when you have the time, not when they're being broadcast. Well, thanks to our new on-demand format, you can do just that. Just click on the on-demand button on the right side of WarbirdRadio.com and follow the simple instructions for setting up your favorite listening device. If you prefer to listen directly from WarbirdRadio.com, well, just click the Play Now button at the bottom of the show story. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy our new on-demand programming.
Hi, everybody. Join me, Nick Dasos, Smithsonian Curator, for Preserving Our Past, a lively look at air and space museums across the country. WarbirdRadio.com proudly presents our newest on-demand broadcast, Preserving Our Past, where museum experts share their thoughts and experiences for future generations of air and space museum lovers.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
We've got your six. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in.
Take off.
That's something else. Gerald really does a great job out there at the Plains of Fame.
Just anytime you go to any museum anywhere, whether it's person, cutting the grass, taking your money, or being a docent, whatever, take a minute to thank them, because it's if it wasn't for them, you probably wouldn't have as good a time as you're having.
That's absolutely correct. And there's a lot of unsung jobs. You know, there's a guy that has to mop the floor, and there's a guy that has to take tickets, and there's a guy that has to clean the aircraft and the exhibits. It takes that whole team to put that museum together, whether it's a flying museum or a static museum. It takes a whole team of people, not just one, to get that museum or that aircraft ready for that day or display that it's going to be. So, you know, really, it's nice to be able to say thanks to some of the folks that don't always get the best recognition for what they do, that are sort of behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's I know with you and I, when we kind of started out in museum, sometimes you've put in a lot of hours cleaning one thing or cleaning floors or moving stuff around all day, and it's the things behind the scenes that people don't realize that make a museum work and move in the right direction. It's all those little things that just go without being thanked. So please take the time, and whether it's, like I said, somebody restoring, mopping the floor, whatever, cleaning the bathroom, it's probably a volunteer. Thank them.
That was probably one of the best things that ever got told to me when I was volunteering at the Air Force Museum at Wright-Patt. I thanked a veteran for his service, which we always made sure that we did. And he said, thank you. And he stopped for a second. And he looked back and he was like, thank you for your service. And it really caught a bunch of us off guard. Nobody had ever thanked any of us before for doing it. But, it does take an amount of dedication. And to be honest, in this day and age where gas is $5 a gallon, or $4 a gallon, there is a huge amount of dedication, both monetary and your time to doing this. And if this is all going to survive, you've got to do it. And it's not the easiest thing. It's days that you have a day off and you're like, man, I'd really like to stay in bed. it's cold out there, especially where I am. Maybe not where Gerald is, but it's cold out. I'd much rather just stay in here and play Call of Duty all day or something. But once you get out there, you're so glad that you did. Whether you're in the rain or whatever,
and you never know. You might have one of those moments where you get to meet a vet and thank them for what they did, or learn some new piece of aviation history that you might not have known. And that's where the reward comes in, or just the satisfaction of knowing that you did something to help further the cause. You're an advocate. I mean, Gerald's a big advocate of aviation, and for that, thank you.
Absolutely, and that is why he is the Warbird Rescue poster child of the month, if you will, volunteer of the month. And we're going to keep trying to do that, and every month we'll just highlight a different volunteer and somebody who, like I said, doesn't necessarily – you're not going to see an article about them in a magazine or anything, but they definitely deserve a tip of the hat. And, I think one of the coolest things I got to say out there, Rob, is you walk around out there and especially in Chino's location, anybody from movie stars to war veterans show up there. So it's a pretty amazing, amazing museum. I can't say enough good things about the Planes of Fame Air Museum out at Chino. If you're at all interested in warbirds, you definitely have to go out there. And to be honest, just walking around that airport is something else. I know you've been there, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You see something. See, my favorite story about that airport is me and Zach were out there last summer, and we see something kind of sticking out of a hangar, and I said, well, maybe that's a Twin Beach or something. I can't tell. Maybe it's something cool like a Twin Beach. And we walk over to the hangar, and it's P-38. So, fully restored P-38, privately owned, sitting in the hangar, just kind of tipped out of the front, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And that stuff happens all the time at Chino. You just, when you hear an airplane there, you look up, because it could be anything.
It's just not Chino. If you take the time to go to Chino, obviously go, and you've got to look around that whole Southern California area, because there is so much good aviation stuff. That we were talking about Edwards for a while there, and there's just a lot of great stuff in that area. Take the time, go out and explore it. It's definitely worth the trip.
Well, there really is. In one day, Zach and I were able to knock out Yanks Air Museum, with another great, fantastic museum at Chino, and then, of course, Planes of Fame. And then we drove down and did Preston's Pride, the B-17. It's on display at the AmVets area there in Tulare, California. And then we drove down to March Air Museum in Riverside, California, and they have a massive collection. And then we ended the day at the Palm Springs Air Museum. So that's easily, I won't say easy, but those are a few nice stops right there that you can make, you know, very easily in 2 days, but you could do it rushed in one. And
but why would you want to?
I know. Well, we were off to Pima. We were going to Tucson. So we had to keep rolling, but it was something else. It was great. I felt like a gunslinger coming out of Palm Springs. I haven't done all those aviation sites in one day. And like you said, just up north at Edwards, that's where history is made. I mean, that whole area is just aviation gold for history and legacies. And you've got, if you go over to Blackbird Air Park right there in Palmdale, you've got, you know, Skunk Works literally right behind it. So,
yeah.
It's just
it comes out of there.
It is. It's just a fascinating area to do aviation sightseeing, and I can't recommend it enough. And I'm sure you as well, Rob, since you live there. It's
it was a short stint, but yeah, it was. There's a lot there to do, without a doubt.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. I think you and I are going to try and make a trip back out there next year. So do a little prospecting for aviation museums. Looking forward to that.
Yes.
But I will even extend this offer. If anybody out there knows of a volunteer that really works hard at an air museum and really doesn't get a ton of recognition that deserves it, you know, please let us know via the Facebook page. And, we would be happy to have them on and just make sure that they get a proper thank you from folks. And because like we said, it makes volunteers feel good and it keeps them motivated to keep working. So if anybody out there knows of a volunteer that you want to highlight or have highlighted for the volunteer of the month, then please, drop us a line and we will be sure to have them on. And Rob, since you haven't been here in a while, you've been on hiatus, sent the guy in North Dakota, and he just goes off and
lost him forever.
Last day, once you become a no-dak, he's just off. Do you have anything that you would want to talk about or anything?
Oh, no, I just, you and I, we went to Virginia Beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Visited with John Bronner. Saw some of the airplanes he takes care of down there. Beautiful stuff.
The proper way of saying his name is Jan Bronner.
Jan Bronner. Yeah.
That's right. And, absolutely. I got to say he has the coolest apartment ever. You wake up, the alarm clock is literally F-18s taking off. And no snooze button, but it's a cool wake-up, though.
Yeah, it's a front row seat. Every day is an air show out there.
Yeah, yeah. And we attended the B-17 co-op meeting this year, and fantastic people that are doing God's work on keeping the B-17s restored and flying. And it's a challenge. It's an ongoing challenge to keep them flying, even an airplane that you would think would have unlimited supply of parts like the B-17. Isn't so. Even the B-17 is facing, challenges to keep airworthy.
Yeah, there's a lot of obsolescence built in, and it's interesting because you and I deal with a static B-17, but it's very interesting to hear the concerns that the flyers have, and obviously the magnitude of what they're dealing with is much more than a static, but once again, if you see a B-17 come to your town, and they're selling rides, please, by all means, take advantage of that and go do it, because there are a lot of things out there that might stop the ride program. I don't I can't say what that is, but it's you never know. It may end someday, so please go take advantage of it.
Well, that's just it. I think that's something that hit me. I've gotten to fly on two B-17s. And
again, bastard.
Yeah, I tell you. Well, you know, flying it from the right seat and stuff, you know. But I will say that it's, you know, it's something that if you're a fan of them, you have to go do. Spending that small amount of time in a B-17 is worth more than anything I could have ever written in a book or in a you know, documentary. I mean, what an education to actually go, you know, airborne in that aircraft. You know, it's really something else. Just like flying cross country on the 3, it's you can't write about it. You got to go and experience
it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And but yeah, we had a great trip and down to the Military Aviation Museum in Virginia Beach and the B-17 co-op. We also got front row view of Oceana Naval Air Station's operations.
Which is
got the grand tour there.
Wow.
Oh my God! I've never seen that many F-18s in one place. You know, great static display air park on the way out, and then I think on the way home we did Air Power Park in Hampton, Virginia as well, which is for the folks that are around there. That's kind of a little traditional staple in their community, and you know, those guys are doing it right. They're out there working, trying to make some cool displays and repaint the aircraft, and it's inspiring to see.
I was really surprised by that little museum in this little town. Just, you know, there are things that need work there, but the projects they're working on or the ones that they have finished are just absolutely beautiful, and they obviously have the support and everything that they need. It's one of those things where you wish every air museum, you know, the little static places like that, you wish that they were all so well endowed, if you will, with volunteers and money and things of that nature to help them.
Well, you know, that and the foresight and that it's not, you know, that these are museum pieces, they're not just a decoration. I think early on, a lot of air museums or air parks got aircraft and just sort of assumed they were sort of like a decoration or a lawn ornament. You know, and as the years have gone on and restoration has changed and updated, you know, I think folks identified that, you know, airplanes really aren't meant to sit outside and they need upkeep and they really need to come inside. But if that's not possible, then they need constant upkeep. And it is nice to see air parks and air museums that have outdoor aircraft when it's possible to be doing this, to try to update and clean up the aircraft and protect them from the elements the best they can. And, you know, hopefully one day they'll all come in. You know, it's an ambitious goal, but...
It is an ambitious goal, but it's also, you know, in the meantime, you do what you can. Not every one of them can be saved, unfortunately. We hate to say that, but if it's there, at least try something. And, you know, that museum is definitely doing it right. They're putting their best foot forward. You know.
Well, absolutely. And just remember, there's a lot of warbirds that fly today that at one time were static display warbirds, you know, in an air park somewhere that had people not stepped up then and saved them and preserved them through that time period, you wouldn't have that airplane today either.
Very true.
You know, so, you know, it's definitely, once again, it goes back to the volunteers that do what they do every day, day in, day out without a thanks. And it's not always the most glamorous stuff in the world, but it needs done, and our hat's off to everybody that does it. But Rob, I think that's about it for us. Do you have anything else?
No, sir.
All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Warbird Rescue Hour, and keep listening. We're getting used to the new format, so you might hear a few odds and ends that we're trying to clean up. We got a few new, some new software that we're using, so just bear with us as we get used to that. But thanks for listening, and tune in next week for another new episode.
I did.
Talk to
classic.
You soon. And what's that?
That ending was classic to me.
Yes, absolutely.